The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Coming up later on the Radio Today programme, a really fascinating discussion about digital radio in Ireland as the state broadcaster there, RTE, announces it could close all its DAB stations and shut down the multiplex it runs. We're going to hear from Kevin Branigan from Radio Nova in Dublin and also the Irish broadcaster Dusty Rhodes, who's run some DAB multiplex trials over the last few years. Some interesting stuff covered, and it's definitely worth staying with us to listen to. Also on this edition, David Lloyd with more radio moments, including this week the time that John Humphrey's interview ended up with the resignation of a director general. We got a lively edition of Radio 4's Any Questions Remembered, a mini history of the Radio News Bulletin, and also 20 years on from the launch of Planet Rock and the Digital One Multiplex.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.
It is the Radio Today programme, and I can see Roy Martin this week. We're here in the same place.
We're very close. A bit of personal space going on, but good to see you.
And we're in Leicester Square, in London's Leicester Square.
We're surrounded by broadcasting studios, dozens and dozens of radio studios, and we're sat outside at the Christmas market, right outside All Boy One.
Yeah, and we must say, the reason for this, we've been at John Meyer's memorial service today, a really beautiful service. We heard from Phil Riley and Simon Cole and John Simons, Carolyn McCall from GMG, and Scott and Kerry, John's children as well. A really lovely service it was today.
It was beautiful. It was everything it should have been and more. It was obviously very similar to the service in Carlisle, which was back in June. And for those that couldn't make it up to Cumbria, they got to say goodbye today, and it has been fantastic. So many people here. I mean, I didn't look behind me. We were sat about halfway down, but I think it was full. I think there were people standing at the back. It was fantastic. And I don't think anybody else would have been able to bring the heads of industry together in a way that John has today. I mean, all the CEOs, you know, of radio and television and media, past and present, everyone that used to run radio stations in the 80s, 90s, and even now, were there. And I think that kind of gathering, not even the Radio Academy or Radio Centre or anybody who tries to do these kind of events, would be able to achieve that kind of, you know. So if John has done one final thing, he's brought us all together, and let's hope we can go forward united, as John would have wanted.
Absolutely. And it's not your first trip to London this week. You were in the Student Radio Awards as well, weren't you?
I was in them. Yes, I was. London.
I've had a drink, but I'm not drunk.
Yeah, that's right. Get away from the microphone, Stuart. And that was good. And, you know, it's the same old lines. There's so much talent, and there was so much talent on the night. I wasn't a judge or anything, but all the judges I spoke to said that, you know, everything they were listening to was good, and the industry is in safe hands. So well done to all the student winners. Let's see, look forward to hearing most of the student radio winners on the radio, because Radio 1 is putting a load of winners on the air over Christmas and New Year. So they didn't do that back in my day. In fact, they didn't do student radio back in my day, but that's not the point. So well done to everybody there, and maybe you could come with me next year, Stuart.
I did go to the Student Radio Awards. Oh, it's good few years ago. It's probably like 7 or 8 years ago, actually, since I went. But it was always a good night. It was always quite glitzy, but also quite humble.
Yeah, and we went there to cover the events, and since we started doing that, since we covered that night, everybody at their own event covers their own event now on Twitter and everything else, so there's less need for us to do it because everybody's doing their own. But I think we should do that next year. We should go all out next year and get involved.
That's a promise. So I was at home, but I've been listening to the radio quite a lot. Obviously, all the election coverage. I'm a big speech radio fan, so I've been listening to a lot of LBC and 5 Live this week. And Scott Mills and Chris Stark started on 5 Live on Saturday morning. I thought it was a great start. Really enjoyed some of the stuff they did. They did some quite geeky things with Colin Murray on, and Chappers, who obviously used to work with Scott on Radio 1 as well. So long may that continue. If you didn't hear it last week, have a listen to the podcast. I thought it was very good. And obviously, Scott doing Radio 1 during the week. He's doing 5 Live on a Saturday and Radio 2 on a Sunday. Now that's career diversity for you. What else has been going on this week?
I believe you went to a live radio show.
I did, the Milo and Rosie show. This was a couple of weeks ago, but obviously Trevor was on last week. So Pulse One in Bradford took their breakfast show to a stage in the theatre, got a lot of listeners there. They invited me along to come and watch, and it was fantastic. Really good, both on the aircon content, doing some different things, some special things, and the kind of experience in the theatre as well. They even had live voiceovers doing some of the VOs and doing the ad breaks as well.
I'd love to have been there, but I wasn't invited. But no, I mean, it goes to show that, I mean, you always reserve that kind of thing for, like when Chris Moyles finished his Radio 1 show, he did, you know, pretty much the same thing. And you'd think it's only national big names that can do that, but no, Danny and Rosie have proven that anybody can do it and do it really well. And those two are fantastic at what they're doing, and they're, you know, obviously the next national presenters. I'm sure they're going to go places pretty soon. But it's good that, you know, if you do a local radio show and think you can't do that, then just try, just do it.
And we've said it before, if you want to invite us to your things that you're doing, we'll happily come along and watch. I think we're going to an Absolute Radio event and a Magic event later this month, and there's obviously a lot of radio things going on, so if you want to invite us, Roy or I, depending on who we are, where we are, we'll happily come along.
And who we are that day.
Oh, Hits Radio Live, we're going to that as well, aren't we?
We are, we're off to Manchester next week. Should we do something? We don't need to do anything. Do we need to work that night? Can we just watch Ava Max? Is Ava Max on?
Possibly Zara Larsson, Robbie Williams.
Oh, Robbie's on. Yeah. I don't care about that. It's all about Anne-Marie. What else has been going on this week?
Oh, there's the RTE news. We're going to hear on this podcast about the DAB aspect of it. But these are some fairly major cuts at RTE. I know you've been reporting on this for radiotoday.ie, our sister site in Ireland. But €60 million of cuts. They're going to make a couple of hundred staff redundant over the next year as well. This is big news for RTE.
It is, and the headline that I picked out, of course, or you did, thank you for that, is that they're closing all their DAB radio stations and their multiplex. And as we'll hear on this very podcast a little bit later on with Dusty and Kev, you know, people saying that DAB is now, you know, has died in Ireland because of this move. But I say it was never born, really. There's been quite a few trials, and the trials have not led to anything so far. RTE do the only national, well, they say national, but it's in about three cities, multiplex in Ireland, and that's going to be turned off. So if you buy a DAB radio in Ireland, there's not really much going on unless you live near the border, and then you've got, you know, dozens of radio stations coming out of Belfast. So I think somebody somewhere needs to make a decision about DAB in Ireland, but I'm not hopeful for it.
Lots of election things going on as well. We've had the news of Nick Conrad from BBC Radio Norfolk leaving his breakfast show, then being announced as a candidate in the election in a constituency as a Conservative candidate, and then a bit of a Twitter backlash about something happened a few years ago. He stepped down. We've also got Simon Jupp, who's worked on radio around Devon and parts of the South Coast. He's now standing as a candidate. And, oh, exciting, I'm a Celebrity. We've had the odd radio person in before, but I think there are four radio people this year in Celebrity.
We've got Capital's Roman Kemp, we've got Smooth's Kate Garraway, and Global are going big on this, as you can imagine. Adele Roberts from the Radio 1, and Ian Wright is in there as well from the
Five Live,
yeah. Etc. So yeah, I might have to watch it this year just so we can talk about it in future podcasts and write about it on the radio station. So good luck to the radio people in the jungle.
Well, here's the radio consultant, Paul Chandler. And Paul, you got a mention on the podcast with Trevor last week, a big up from Chris Stevens at DivaWeb about this election guide you've done. And since we found you here, we thought we might as well ask you. So, election coming up, if you're a small station, if you're a community station, some really important things you need to know.
The rules have started already, and they go on until Thursday, December the 12th, which is polling day at 10 o'clock in the evening. It's all about three things. It's all about fairness, it's all about balance, and it's all about impartiality. Fairness in the sense that Ofcom and the law take a very serious view of anyone who prejudices the result of the election. And political parties monitor each station to make sure you are fair. Balance, the idea is to achieve balance over of all the parties over the whole campaign, so balance of coverage. There's no requirement to give equal airtime to all parties. Not every party has to feature in every item, but overall coverage has to be balanced and impartial across the campaign. In other words, that word impartial means you've got to be seen not to be supporting any one side, and all the major parties got to be treated as fair as possible.
I suppose there's a danger that community radio stations go, oh, this looks complicated, we're probably best avoiding it. But actually the point of community radio is that you should be getting involved in some of these things and doing it properly.
Absolutely. They should cover constituencies issues. They should cover discussions. There are all sorts of rules that apply to those things. You can find them in this guide on the Diva website. And it is really worth doing. I think the worst thing of all is when people say, especially community radio stations, oh, I don't want to cover it because it sounds too complicated. Well, I think have a look at our guide and they can get all of the do's and don'ts.
And something else exciting, you're involved with another new radio station. Of course, you're a consultant on Fixed Radio, which was a kind of new thing for radio. This sounds interesting. Podcast Radio, what is it?
Podcast Radio is being announced this week, and we're launching it in two or three weeks' time. And it's going to be on DAB Plus in London. And I really think the mix between podcasts and broadcast radio is really exciting. I think radio is the perfect place to be able to find podcasts, to sample them, and to find out if you want to download the rest of the episodes from a series. And I'm really excited by the discovery element in terms of listeners and in terms of the kind of service we can be to podcasters. We can be their showcase and their shop window.
Well, there's an idea. It's not the first, but I think it's the first one that's got a DAB license in the capital of England. If you do a podcast, then get in touch with him, because I'm sure, well, there's a form on the website saying if you do a podcast, get in touch.
And you can get that election guide from Paul Chandler and Diva Webb on the Diva Webb website. Right, well, it's nice to see you, Roy, and I'll see you again soon, won't I, because we're going to Hits Radio.
I'm up to Manchester this weekend for the event, yeah, so I'll see you there.
Cool, thank you.
Bye-bye now. Can we go back inside? It's freezing.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionics Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
Now, we talk quite often here on the Radio Today programme about DAB in the UK, but this week we're going to focus on what's going on in Ireland because of the big news from RTE. It's announced as part of major cost-saving measures, it's going to close all its national DAB stations and maybe the multiplex it operates as well. There have been lots of trials of DAB by commercial radio in Ireland. Even some commercial radio groups are not big supporters of it, though, preferring to stick with good old FM. Now, I don't know that much about the Irish radio industry, other than to say it's quite different to the UK, but I'm pleased to say this week on the podcast we've got some people who are experts on Irish radio who can hopefully help us out and tell us what's going on. So Kevin Branigan is with us. He's the CEO at Radio Nova in Dublin. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Stuart.
And Dusty Rhodes. There's a name you might remember from Atlantic 252, if you're a fan of that in the 90s. Also the MD of DB Digital Broadcasting, which has run some trial at DAB multiplexes in Dublin and Cork. Hi, Dusty.
How you doing, Stuart?
I'm good. So you both started out on pirate radio as well. We'll perhaps talk about that in a little while and pirate DAB that we've got. But I wondered, perhaps one of you first, maybe Kevin, if you can tell us, for people listening in the UK who don't know much about Ireland, it's quite different to the UK market, isn't it? You've got RTE, you've got Communicore and Wireless, who I think have about five stations each. But the total market of commercial radio is, what, 30 stations in Ireland?
So it's about 35 stations across national, regional and commercial. And then, of course, there's a tranche of community stations as well, maybe about, I think, about 13 or 14. I mean, it's obviously a much smaller country than the UK. There's just up to 4 million people. So, and I guess the process of consolidation is underway here, but it's obviously there was a lot more consolidation in the UK. That's kind of starting to happen here. But I mean, you've kind of, as you mentioned, you have RTE, you have Communicore, you have Wireless, you have ourselves in Bay Broadcasting, and Radio Kerry have about 3 to 4 stations as well. And then there's another maybe 15 to 20 kind of non-aligned stations as well. So it's a very healthy market.
And your station, Nova, it's a rock station, but you're quite limited in the broadcast area that you've got.
We're licensed for Dublin City, County and Commuter Belt. So that includes 4 counties around Dublin, Kildare, Meath, Wicklow and Dublin itself, whereas the rest of the Dublin stations will be just Dublin City and County only.
Okay. And so the news from RTE, let's ask you about that first, Kevin. Is this bad news for the radio sector as a whole that they're going to shut these stations?
I think what they announced is bad news for the industry as a whole, because it's a sign that things aren't going as well commercially as people from the outside looking in may think. I think RTE have their own issues and they've identified that they have to consolidate in some areas. But I guess as an industry, we don't like hearing bad news. We don't like people talking about bad news in the industry. It's very hard to know what goes on inside RTE, to be honest with you. I have always wondered how they fund the DAB stations they have, and the only answer has to be that it's taxpayers' money. And I've come out and said this many, many times before. 2FM has been receiving €5 million a year from taxpayers' money through this kind of a silent background transfer of funds within RTE. And I think that if they've decided to cut back, it's not necessarily a sign that things are bad in the industry. I think it's more a sign that they have to make some changes inside in their own internal structures. Although I don't believe it looks good for the industry for there to be these kind of shock announcements and things that aren't expected coming out in the news and the media.
And it's difficult for us to know, and I don't know whether you guys know this, how many people actually listen to DAB radio, because the JNLR figures that are made public don't appear to split it between digital and FM like our radar figures do in the UK.
Well, we don't really have any DAB stations on, with the exception of RTE and a couple of trials, which I'm sure Dusty will talk about. So I don't think it's a case that it doesn't split it out. It's just that there isn't anything to split it out to. And that's really the reality behind that.
But I guess some people are listening to RTE Radio 1 or 2 FM on DAB and some are listening to on FM. So there must be a gauge of that somewhere.
Well, I would look at it really in terms of, you know, what's often said about the JNLR is that it doesn't measure people listening on radio apps and people listening on the internet. But in reality, it does, because people are asked what radio stations they listen to. So, and they come back and say it's Nova or 104 or Today FM or whatever. So regardless of whether it's on FM or an app online, it's all measured and it all goes into your listen yesterday figure. So I think the majority of us in the commercial sector wouldn't really get too worked up about whether it breaks down how they listened. Although it'd be nice to get that information, but I don't think it's a fundamental failure of the journal or that it doesn't necessarily go into great detail about whether it's on an app or on a website or a DAB or on an FM radio.
Yeah, I guess RT probably know that though, because if you know, if they had some internal research that showed 80% of people were listening on the DAB, they probably won't be turning it off. So I'm guessing it's quite a small amount as a percentage.
Well, I would say so. And I think, I suppose it's down to if somebody's able to get RT Radio 1 on FM, and they can get it on DAB and they can get it on Longwave, is there any real incentive for them to tune into DAB? And there probably isn't. And I think probably the one case you can talk about is RTE Gold, where it seemed to have been developing a small listenership, which is interesting. And I think the pirate DAB is interesting, that's on now. And I think what Dusty has done with DAB over the last couple of years is interesting as well. But I would bring it back to how RTE were funding that. And people will talk today about it's such a shame that RTE Gold and RTE Pulse and True XM are closing down, but I would always bring that back to, well, I think we need to know who was paying for it in the first place. I suspect it was me and Dusty and all of the other taxpayers' money, and I wasn't given the choice whether I want to fund an RTE Gold station any more than I was given the choice whether I want to fund 2FM. I don't have any problem with my licence fee going to public service broadcasting, but do I want to go into a digital radio station I never asked for? I don't know, so...
So, Dusty, tell us about your trials that you've been doing. You've had a couple of goes at it in different areas, I think, and lots of commercial radio stations coming on, but then it disappears when the licence expires.
Well, just a little background on the trials. We were always very interested in DAB, going back to the Department of Communications trials back in 2007, 2006, when RTE were first got involved with DAB. Then we ran some more trials. We had the... I think the problem for DAB in Ireland is a lot of people were interested in it. And then in 2008, of course, the entire world was hit by the recession and the commercial sector withdrew from DAB at that point and have not re-engaged with it since. And to answer your question about DAB in Ireland, and Kevin has been very, very kind, but the reality is there is no DAB in Ireland. There is no market for DAB in Ireland. The only radio stations that were on were the couple of channels that RTE started, and they kind of got caught on the hop in that they had this whole plan developed in 2008. They were going to roll out a national multiplex. They had six brand new digital radio stations, the whole thing. Then the recession came along. RTE had their own problems, commercial radio had their own problems, and then it just kind of sat there and has done nothing since. And RTE have not been marketing it or promoting it. DAB has only been available in three cities in Ireland. It doesn't exist, essentially, in this country. So what we did with our company, DB Digital Broadcasting, was we ran some trials in, I think, 2011, 2012, in and around there, where we just played with it. because we knew there was no market. Nobody was listening. We just wanted to really turn the power up, turn the power down, do single frequency networks, play around with slideshow, do the DLS, how many stations can we cram in, how many stations not, what's the highest bit rate that you can run. One day we ran one of the stations at 256k and we couldn't receive it on any radio because radios will only go up to 192. It was all this kind of stuff. But it was very much a trial. That's what we were doing. There was not really much engagement with commercial radio at the time because they had their own commercial problems. And, you know, the last thing they want to do is play around with toys with people like me. But I find now, despite with what has happened with RTE, is that there is a more positive vibe in Ireland in general. And there's a more positive vibe in the industry. And I get the feeling now that there are a number of commercial broadcasters who want to make more of the business that they have and who want to expand and who want to reach out and do bigger and better things. RTE is kind of a separate part of the market because, like the BBC in the UK, it's almost like a separate broadcasting industry in itself. And they have all of their own problems. And the way I would see it with DAB for RTE, two things, is that it is really just a victim of RTE's other problems. Because RTE is such a small part, or DAB is such a small part of what RTE do, that it's just kind of been lobbed in with everything else because it sounds good. And we're also going to turn off the DAB radio stations. But I think we have 6 or maybe 9 months before those stations actually go off. And there's an awful lot that can happen in those 6 or 9 months.
Yeah. And in the UK, we now have, you know, 30, obviously a bigger market, bigger country, but we've got 30 or 40 national radio stations on DAB now. And I think initially there was a worry that they'd be jukebox services, just computers in a cupboard running a radio station. I think that was one of your worries about expansion of DAB in Ireland as well, Kevin. What we've seen now in the UK, certainly with wireless and groups like that, is that they are investing in content, and we've got digital only stations that are paying big money to Chris Evans. So we're further down the line, but do you think you might ever get to that point in Ireland, Kevin?
Well, I think that that's interesting. And I think what's also interesting is that the advertising spend in the UK is increasing. If you look at each of the reports that's come out for the last 4 to 5 years show, it's increasing. There seems to be a great level of excitement and innovation in UK radio. And I would have to concede that I think some part of that is the fact that there are so many channels on DAB. And I think that can bring an excitement in. You can see, you know, there was a brand new national classical station that was launched by, was it Global?
By Bauer, Scala Radio, yeah.
Bauer's, yeah. And I think all of those new announcements and fresh ideas and things that can be decided around the programming table that can end up on a DAB channel within a few weeks, as opposed to things having to go through a long drawn out regulatory process that happens with FM, is interesting. However, I would hasten to add that the UK is a very different country. There's nearly 60 million people. There's only 4 million people here. And I do think it's quite different. And what I would bring it back to myself is that one of the reasons why the UK brought DAB out in the first place was because of a shortage of spectrum. There were also other issues which they wanted to deal with. And I don't think we have those same issues here. There's still an abundance of FM radio spectrum. I think what is most disappointing about the present market is that the BAI have decided to maintain the status quo. They put a call for submissions out in 2017, and there were many, many operators wanted to set up small-scale radio stations. People want to have access to the airwaves, and the BAI have clamped that down. And I think that that is a shame. I think that if there are people interested in running temporary radio stations, running full-time radio stations on low power on FM or DAB, that should be encouraged. And I think that our present environment doesn't allow that from a regulatory point of view. And that is why you see people setting up pirate DAB networks. You see the FM band in Dublin is full of pirate stations. And I think that's to be welcomed. I have to say it, because I think for as long as there is enthusiasm and as long as there are people who want to go on air, I think that is the lifeblood of all of us. If there ever comes a day when there isn't somebody looking to experiment like Dusty with DAB, if there isn't a guy looking to turn on a transmitter at 4:30 on a Sunday afternoon, I think we're all finished. I think what we need to have is a band full of radio stations. We need to have people who are allowed to do everything. If a person wants to hear a bird tweeting at 6:30 on a Sunday morning, We should facilitate that using FM radio frequencies and DAB radio frequencies so that people keep coming to radio for everything. If we don't do that as an industry and as a collective of individuals interested in radio, it just won't be as strong and as good and as well connected with people as it should be.
Yeah, and I don't know whether this is your experience, Dusty, but certainly the guys who ran the AirDAB trial in Cork recently basically said there's a lot of support for it, there's enthusiasm, that people want to innovate and bring new formats, but actually it's regulation that's holding everything back.
I can't speak for the regulators. You would have to have them, and I'm not going to second guess what it is that they want. So I'll just leave it at that.
No, that's fine. I mean, the message from AirDAB, I think, was that people found it difficult and it was a long process for them to get a license to be able to broadcast on that multiplex. So even though they licensed the multiplex for a trial, it was going to take months and months into that year to actually get a station on the air.
Well, that is true. To get a license to broadcast on DAB in Ireland, you need what's called a Section 71 license, and it is nowhere near as onerous as it is for applying for an FM license. The process generally tends to run a little quicker, but they do have their process of decision making within the BAI, like many organisations, and there is a board meeting and it only happens once a month. So you kind of have to wait for whatever application it is. You need to be slotted into one of those monthly meetings. And I would understand the frustration from a lot of people, because we live in a connected world where we can do everything instantly online right now. For example, I had, for no particular reason, just a general annual health checkup. I had a blood test taken yesterday. This morning, I got the results emailed to me, and I have an appointment with my doctor this afternoon by a video link.
Wow.
So we're used to that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like fast, fast, fast. And then suddenly, like, you know, you call like, you know, a broadcasting authority and they say, well, you need to fill in an application form and there's lots of details, and then somebody has to process it, and then we get back to you, and then there's going to be a meeting of the board, and then da, 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 and so on and so forth. So it can kind of seem, it can seem a little bit like that. But I think for anybody who is used to these things and has been working within the industry for quite some time, we're kind of used to that pace.
You've both said the pirates are a good thing. Obviously, you both started out on pirate radio in Ireland, which was a massive thing in the 80s, certainly. Is there a danger with these pirate multiplexes that actually they ruin the prospect of DAB being a proper thing in Ireland in the future, in that they, you know, play with different bit rates and it doesn't sound right and they use the text facilities wrong and all that kind of thing? Does it not need regulation to make it future-proof?
Well, I think everything that is going on at the moment is actually a very interesting and exciting and positive time in Ireland. A lot of people think that this whole thing with RTE going, we're pulling DAB, is a terrible thing. But all people have talked about for the last 48 hours is DAB and RTE. It seems to be one of the headline things that RTE are doing. So it's fantastic to see digital radio back on the table for discussion again. That's the same thing with the pirates. I mean, we wouldn't have had a radio industry in Ireland if people hadn't run pirate radio stations. So it's nice to see them. And I think all of this activity and what is happening is going to lead. It's just showing that, you know, kind of people are interested in digital radio. They are interested in an expanded choice of listening. There are broadcasters who are interested in running many new radio stations for their listeners. I know Kevin has done some fantastic things online with Radio Nova and the various genres. Communicore have launched 10 online-only radio stations. Wireless are launching online-only radio stations. We've got the Radio Player app in Ireland, which now features a number of radio stations that are not available on FM. People want to get out there and make more radio and deliver more targeted stations to the audience. And DAB is just part of that.
And Kevin, you come out after the RTE announcement and said, actually, you want that space. You want to take Radio Nova national. So whilst you perhaps don't want DAB massively expanding across the country, you want to put your service on it, presumably from a commercial point of view, so that you can get to more people.
Yeah. I mean, our objectives are like the objectives of any business. That's to expand. And I think one of the ways that the FM license scenario works is that you're given a franchise area, and that's the franchise area that you're supposed to fulfill. And the mark of your ability to have achieved that during the course of your license is how well you have focused on your franchise area. Our belief has always been quite different in that we're a specialist music radio station as opposed to the full service radio stations like all of the other ones. And our reason for existence is to provide a supplement to the other radio stations. And we've made the case numerous times that the people of Cork and Galway and Limerick and wherever it can be supported should also have access to a rock music radio station. So we've made that case to the BAI on a number of different times. And because of the present strategy they have is to maintain the status quo because there's a concern about viability and sustainability. That has left us in a scenario where we aren't presently able to expand our franchise area, even though we would like to. It looks like our only way of doing this in the short term is through DAB. The announcement this week says that RTE don't want to broadcast on those frequencies. If they don't want them, we'll take them. Simple as that.
And I suppose the other thing to ask you as well, obviously there's a, I think there's an EU directive coming in about in-car audio. So from next year, all car manufacturers across the EU will have to put DAB into their cars. So you're going to get thousands of cars in Ireland with DAB. Probably there are some at the moment that can't pick anything up on it. So how does kind of the strategy of DAB in Ireland fit with what the EU wants to do?
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because I think Ireland has been a little bit removed from DAB, whereas things are moving quite considerably now in the EU. The EU directive that you're talking about is mandates that digital radio must be available in cars by the end of 2021, but it also recommends that DAB is available in all radios sold in the market. But it's up to each individual country to do that. And many countries are doing that. France are doing that. Italy, it's a requirement. Germany are putting it through. And it's something that the UK are considering as well, and Ireland. So that DAB just becomes another frequency that's available. Like, you know, when I was growing up as a kid, there was VHF on the radio, but nobody was on it. And then suddenly Chris Carey came along with, well, Radio Nova, funny enough.
Yeah.
And it was a massive success. So this kind of market is being built in the EU and right across Europe, and with the four key countries. So France, Italy, Germany and the United Kingdom. Those four countries alone have over half the population of the entire European Union. And each of those four countries are putting digital radio as a requirement into all new cars. And they are also most likely going to put it into all new radios that are sold. Broadcasters are getting out there, they're making new services, they're coming up with new ideas for radio stations, which is creating new revenue streams for them, new advertising platforms. They're able to extend their brand into new areas, they're able to attract more diverse audiences. This is what's happening right across Europe, and it's coming towards Ireland. And I think it's a very interesting situation where we see at the moment where kind of it's growing right across Europe with 300 million other people, whereas in Ireland we're going, let's turn it off.
But I have to add just there to what Dusty has said, and it brings us back to a comment you made earlier, Stuart. So if there is DAB in Ireland, what's going to be carried on it? The suggestion there was that in the UK, the services carried are services that have investment and presenters, and is that to be the way forward for Ireland? And on the basis of the DAB experiment so far in Ireland, while I understand it's in its infancy, pretty much all that has been carried are services from either outside the state, services that are funded by the taxpayer, such as RTE Gold. And I'm kind of struggling to see how radio stations will be able to invest in extra services when we're all focused on our own service at the moment. So I think there are a number of questions. If there is to be a full-time DAB and a BAI strategy in the future, who's going to control it? I mean, I, as the operator of a radio station, wouldn't be so enamoured with the idea of all the multiplex going to wireless and Communicore, for example. So we become a client of our competitors. So that's the first question. Second of all, how is there going to be a commitment given by the radio stations who were on it that they're going to invest? I mean, there was mention of the extra channels that are on the Irish radio player, but for the most part, they're jukeboxes. And the third thing is, what's the rollout of this going to be, and who is going to fund the marketing of it? And the fourth thing, is there ever going to be an FM switch-off? I would not be enthused about an FM switch-off. You know, if the logical conclusion of DAB proponents is, you know what, let's do this DAB thing and then in the future FM will switch off, I'm not interested in it at all, because I think FM is a great medium. We don't have the same challenges as we have in the UK. I'd be completely against an FM switch off. I think some of the things that people say about the quality of DAB is interesting in some cases, but people are happy with what it is. So if there is to be DAB, who's going to control it? What's the content going to be? And can we have some sort of a debate that means that the radio stations on DAB are different than the ones on FM? So it gives people a reason to tune to it, and it gives some value to people as opposed to just people hogging spectrum. So I guess I've raised four or five things there that will be things I think should be debated. Mm.
The funny thing is that with the RTE decision to say that they're closing down DAB has given rise to all of these exact things that Kevin has said. And everything he says is absolutely correct. And on top of that, there's more of a positive vibe in the country, as I say, and there's more of an interest from broadcasters in actually doing something different. So I think what Kevin was saying is that these questions are starting to be asked and people actually want to do something with DAB. And we are getting to that chicken and egg scenario. As we said before, in the UK, there were radio stations literally running under the stairs in Bristol, one that I know of, and they were just jukebox, because you have to start somewhere. It's a chicken and egg, and what do you do? And I think we're just kind of, this RTE decision is going to create that chicken and egg, that scenario in Ireland, where it's going to get DAB onto the table. I think people are going to talk. Kevin is talking about FM switch off. That seems to be a big thing in people's heads. But then the other side is that it's not an issue at the moment. We are years, decades away from turning off FM. There's no reason to do it. But there is definitely, I think, a reason to start DAB as a complementary service to the existing FM network. And I, for one, because I listen to Nova and it's a fantastic radio station, I would love to see that being made available in Limerick or in Galway or in the hills of Donegal, whatever it happens to be. And that is the advantage of DAB, I think, for the operators and also for the listeners.
And just finally, we've heard a lot in the UK over the last few months about that non-existent border between the north and the south on the island of Ireland. Obviously, it doesn't stop people going across it, and it doesn't stop radio signals going across it. So I guess people living in the border areas are benefiting massively if they've got a DAB radio, because I think they can get 60-odd stations from Northern Ireland at the moment, can't they?
Well, that's going to be an interesting thing that people, again, when we get to talk about DAB in Ireland, it will be a big issue, because you can't have a case where Northern Ireland is on digital and the Republic of Ireland is on FM. You need to have some consistency across the border.
Yes, we do. On the subject of DAB in the north of Ireland, I was up in Belfast recently, and I was very surprised by the number of DAB channels. I flicked. There's a little button on the steering wheel. It was astonishing, the number of channels. But the one thing that I perceived about it was the majority of them were national radio channels coming out of London.
Yeah.
And I wonder just how relevant that is for Belfast. Of course, it's nice to have the choice, but if you've got 60 channels and they're all coming from London, there was magic, whatever, smooth, the whole lot,
yeah,
all the different sub-brands. And it was nice to get it, but if the future of DAB for people in Cork is going to be a whole heap of channels sent out of Dublin, I'm wondering.
I think it all depends on what the content is.
Is that gonna be, yeah?
I think if you've got a niche brand or niche content, it works very well if you are able to broadcast that niche content across a large area, because it increases your overall audience, which means you can generate more advertising revenue. And that's how you make a profitable business. Jazz is one of the things I think of, and, or classical music, or classic rock, if you want to throw that in.
Yeah, and look, I think it makes absolute sense from the perspective of the person in Dublin who wants to cover the rest of the country, as in me. But I also wonder if there should be more done to encourage local broadcasting and community broadcasters, so that people in Cork and Limerick, if there is to be a future with DAB, I think there should be access discussions, and it shouldn't end up either on FM or on DAB that a person in Cork has access to 60 radio stations, of which only three of them are from Cork, and the rest of them are all from Dublin, broadcasting down to Cork on a DAB network.
There is interest in Ireland from radio stations in the regions. I know there's a dance radio station interest in Cork. There's a Irish country and Western music interest from a number of different areas. And then, as you say, with community broadcasts and stuff, again, the UK is leaps ahead of us on this, but the whole small scale DAB setup is perfect for more local and more community broadcasting. I think it's a fantastic opportunity as well. All of these things I think are on the table and in the future for Ireland.
Well, I think this has probably been my favourite discussion in recent months, actually, on this podcast, because I've learned lots of things. We've covered a lot of stuff that we go over the same topics here in the UK. It's the same stuff over and over again. So it's really good to get some fresh takes on things. So thank you both for coming on. Really appreciated that.
Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
That's Kevin Branigan and Dusty Rhodes talking to the Radio Today programme. Still to come here, we've got excellent radio moments from David Lloyd. First, a quick reminder about Clean Feed. It's something you might want to try out if you're doing some OBs in the run-up to Christmas, or maybe you're making a podcast and you need a great way to connect with guests in all sorts of places around the country or around the world. Clean Feed's been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really simple to use and to connect and to get great quality audio from. You can even record within the browser too, if you're making a podcast perhaps. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll just take 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording for your podcast, or maybe that OB from the Christmas markets. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. Radio
Moments. It's 2 months since John Humphreys said farewell to Radio 4.
Today matters for tomorrow. And if that's a rather corny way to end my years on the programme, well, so be it.
And then just a couple of weeks ago, he turned up briefly elsewhere.
Welcome to Classic FM. My name is John Humphreys, and I'm the new kid on the block, in a manner of speaking. Not new to classical music, but new to presenting a programme like this on a station like this.
But he'll always be remembered for his time on the Today programme, not least when he interviewed his boss about the Newsnight incident. That was this week, 7 years ago.
I will, I hope, know exactly what happened, and I'll know what further action to take, including disciplinary action, if that's appropriate.
Disciplining other people, but at no point will you say to yourself, I, George Entwistle, should have been much more alert to the dangers in all this. I should have been watching it like a hawk right from the very beginning. Everything Newsnight did in this area, I should have been on top of. Not editing the programme down there on the stone, as it were, but I, the Director General, the Editor-in-Chief, should have been on top of everything that programme did. I was remiss in that. It's no good me blaming other people because I am the boss. Do you not see that people will say, he's talking about disciplining other people, he's not saying, I was remiss.
John, you're effectively asking me to become the editor of Newsnight. I was
editor. I'm not. I'm absolutely
yes, you are.
Not I, doing that. It has I an was. Editor. He answers to you. You, therefore, should have said to him, what are you up to, old boy?
I was editor of Newsnight. I know what level of attention
indeed
to detail that takes. That
and you answer to your bosses.
That is where that level of scrutiny should take place. And
not
I,
with
I,
you at all. You are entirely blameless.
And I answer to my bosses. I answer to the trust.
The interview with George Entwistle on the Radio 4 Today programme this week in 2012. His tenure as DG ended just hours afterwards. He'd been in the post just 54 days. Can a digital radio station really be 20 years old? Congratulations to Planet Rock. It launched this week in 1999 on the new national DAB multiplex.
Radio is going digital. Radio is going digital.
The date is set, Monday, November 15th. The UK's first national digital radio stations. Planet Rock, the rock specialists, promising to play classic rock tracks.
Hello, Planet Rock.
Yeah, hello, I rang up the other day and requested some Boyzone, but you hung up on me.
Loser.
Planet Rock.
Well done, Planet Rock, carried on the new Digital One DAB multiplex, which itself began transmitting this week in 1999, bringing the first commercial DAB services. Many have come and gone, including Capital Life and Core and One Word as well. It was owned back then by GWR NTL. When Chris Mason took the helm of the Radio 4 Any Questions programme the other week...
Well, hello.
He stood in the footsteps of giants like David Jacobs. And here's a memorable addition from David's time with Enoch Powell on the panel. I remember listening to this at the time, this week in 1976.
I see no advantage either to the country...
Hold on.
Asking her to withdraw from his platform. Dear sir, there's... There is no need to shout.
And join the demonstration outside.
Right, hold on. Thank you very much indeed for putting your question. Please do not try to enhance that which you wish to diminish by making a fool of yourself. And let's get on with the programme. Lord Redis.
One of the greatest...
This, ladies and gentlemen of the listening public, is rather like being in some sort of variety hall. Gentlemen are popping up from all sorts of parts of the hall... And I suppose we will manage to carry on. We will. Bishop, I'm sure that the bishop here, if you'll allow me, Lord Robins, Bishop, I'm sure you have a way of calming down people.
People are going to love one another physically as well as mentally and spiritually is faced in the service.
Bishop, I'm sorry to do this, but would you just say a couple of words, please, on what it means? I happen to be sitting here on the stage of a church, and when people throw stones through the stained glass windows of a church, I feel sad.
Any questions on Radio 4 this week in 1976? It's almost 100 years since the first ever news bulletin. 97 years this week, to be precise. That was hosted by Arthur Burroughs, who read the bulletin twice, once quickly and once slowly, so listeners could take notes if they wanted to. There we are, some ideas for smart speaker bulletins.
This is London Calling.
The style of radio news bulletins has changed over the years. The new LBC news station is sounding pretty slick.
MPs will vote later on whether to back Boris Johnson's call for a general election on the 12th of December. Despite the likely delay to Brexit...
And
the
capital gets ever hotter.
From Global's newsroom, I feel sick. We are just an hour away from England's most important game in a generation, a World Cup semi-final against Croatia.
Award-winning stuff, but maybe nothing quite like how bulletins in the States sounded back in 1962.
Now, on WIL Action Central News... The world today.
Algiers. Terrorists in Algeria have killed at least 52 persons in the worst single-day slaughter of the year. Paris. Indications are that a ceasefire between Algerian rebels and France may be proclaimed by the middle of March. Washington. A congressman says U-2 pilot Francis Gary Powers will be called to testify before the House Foreign Affairs Committee next week. Washington. A Senate committee has approved President Kennedy's request to boost the national debt ceiling to $300 billion.
Here's the weather report. We just had to get that jingle in. 1978 now, and the start at last of BBC Radio Wales.
It's 6:30 on Monday, November the 13th, and this is Anita Morgan saying, welcome to Radio Wales on 340 metres on the medium wave. Today's the day a brand new Radio Wales takes to the air. Every day from 6:30 to 9:30, I'll be bringing you this programme, AM.
I realised that we had a responsibility because if we didn't do well, we were the first people on the new station that they were listening to, then we didn't give a good impression for the people who had switched on that morning, thinking they're going to hear their favourites that they're listening to do for donkey's years. And here will be the crazy gang, really, because we were doing almost anything.
The launch of BBC Radio Wales this week, 41 years ago. And that same week, that same year, the top 20 show on Radio 1 grew to a top 40.
Radio 1. And Brandy at number 21, 5 o'clock till 7 o'clock from now on Radio 1, and also in stereo VHF, it's the full British Top 40.
Radio 1.
The bottom 20 between 5 and 6, and between 6 and 7, the top 20.
You've got a friend, the happy sound of Radio 1.
Simon Bates on the chart show on Radio 1 this week in 1978 as it went from a top 20 to a two-hour top 40. It later became 2.5 hours and then 3 hours. Then it moved from Sundays, but now in 2019 we have the official chart first look. So, with the birth of BBC Radio Lincolnshire 39 years ago...
Our transmissions begin this morning with an address by the Bishop of Lincoln, the Right Reverend Simon Phipps.
Brunel Classic Gold launching 31 years ago.
We think, though, if you're over 40, Brunel is the station you've been waiting for.
John Myers beginning a review of BBC Local Radio 8 years ago, and the BBC itself as a company formed this week in 1922. Those are this week's radio moments.
Thank you, David Lloyd, with his lovely bright blue shoes at the memorial service this week. Thanks also to Roy Martin and Paul Chandler and to my main guests, Kevin Branigan and Dusty Rhodes. And something we forgot to mention earlier, it's Children in Need Week, of course, at the BBC this week. So good luck and well done to everybody across network radio and local radio who's getting involved with some of those really important fundraising initiatives. Sitting in baths of beans or walking halfway across the country or singing karaoke non-stop, whatever you're doing, well done to you, and good luck with the continued fundraising this week.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macassar.